So you hear it off in the distance. It is almost imperceptible. You hope that it's just your imagination, this sound kind of off there. You've made it this far without being captured. But as you press on, you pause to catch your breath, and the distant thumping grows louder. So far, you have avoided being discovered. The police haven't been able to catch you. You've stuck to the darkest streets and the alleyways. The shadows have been your closest friends. You are moments from successfully escaping. But the sound of the whirling blades grows louder, and you realize it's not your imagination. And suddenly the helicopter bursts into view, and with it comes the bright, penetrating spotlight that shines directly on you. There's nowhere left to run. The light has found you. It's a somewhat common scene in movies, in action movies specifically, whether it's an escaped prisoner, a rogue spy, or even the lost survivalist. The spotlight comes, and it's all over. When the light shines, that's it. There's something startlingly beautiful about this overwhelming flood of light. Not just in these types of scenes where the light reveals every and anything, but the idea of light revealing the darkness, the spotlight shining and the truth being seen. Another maybe illustration in your mind would be the power goes out. The whole street is plunged into pitch black. And then you light that teeny tiny candle you have sitting around. Or you find that dinky dollar store flashlight that never really works, but the smallest amount of light floods the darkness. This is the picture, or at least the beginning of the mental picture, that the Apostle John is going to paint for us today. Now, obviously, in John's day, there were no helicopters with spotlights or flashlights. But John understood the power of light shining in the darkness. He understood that we all kind of have this shared experience of light in the dark. And so as we turn our attention today to our series, Walking Through the 1 John, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1 today, and I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to open up to 1 John chapter 1. Again, teeny tiny book in the back of the New Testament. So if you hit Revelation, you went a little bit too far. If you went hit Hebrews, you haven't gone far enough, kind of right in between there. But John wants to start us out today thinking about this image of light. Last week, he opened this letter we're reading. He's writing this letter to the early church, and he's focused on his experiences. He says, these things that I'm talking about are real. I have seen them. I have touched them. I have heard them myself firsthand. These are my experiences with Jesus. And having experienced Jesus, it leads me to proclaim everything I've seen, heard, touched, experienced. And I proclaim it. I also want to invite it. I want you to come into the fullness of this joy of knowing Jesus. This is how he began last week. I've experienced this. I'm sharing it with you. And we come to 1 John 1, verse 5 this morning. We're going to start. And he says this. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We spent the better part of last week establishing John's personal experience. That John was with Jesus, he saw the risen Christ, this is his experience. All of that he's about to write, he's not making it up, he didn't imagine it, he lived it. But he also wants us to know here at the beginning, this is not his opinion. This is not his interpretation of reality. He says, this is the message we heard from him. We heard this from Jesus. Jesus gave it to me. I'm giving it to you. John wants us to know that this isn't just John rambling about his life experiences. We've all been at those social gatherings where you sit down and you end up with aunt or uncle so-and-so, and you know you're in for the next 35 minutes on their latest summer vacation. You're like, I don't really care about your experiences, Uncle Bob. This is not John's experience. He says, I want you to know this is what I experienced with Jesus, but this is the message that he gave me and I give to you. I'm going to declare to you. So what is the message? It's very simple. God is light. He says, this is the message we receive from Jesus. God is light. This is how God chooses to reveal himself to us. The picture that he paints, light. But what does that mean? When we hear God is light, what comes to mind? One of the first images that comes to my mind is growing up, Sunday evenings, we always watched the television show Touched by an Angel. So this guardian angel would come unbeknownst to a certain person and help them through a traumatic season of their lives. And at the end of the episode, what would happen? They would reveal themselves as an angel and they would glow. This light would shine on them. They say, I'm an angel sent by God. And you got this beautiful picture of the light of God just flooding the room. So we say, God is light. And I kind of think, ooh, it's shiny and bright. But is that all that this means, that God is bright and shiny? For maybe a more biblical illustration of this, think of Moses. Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery. They go through the desert. They end up at Mount Sinai. He goes up the mountain to meet with God. And what happens when he comes off the mountain? He's glowing. His face is shiny bright. Because they can't look at him. He's so bright, so he has to put a veil over him. He glowed. So see, God is light. John is telling us that God is bright like the sun. He is shiny. Is that what John is saying here? No. I mean, there is an aspect to the appearance, the glory of God glowing and this brightness. But this is really more of a statement of God's nature and his will. Think back to Genesis chapter 1. When you think of light, we think of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the first thing he does in creation, he says, let there be light. It's not just the first action of creation. It actually is the first revelation of who God is. God pictures himself, he paints us this idea of light. Light is perfection. Light is purity. Light is goodness. Think about a bright, white, pure light. These are aspects of God. Perfection, purity, goodness. John states out the very clear implication, by the way. He says, God is light. And just in case you don't quite understand that, there is no darkness in him. Light and dark are polar opposites. They don't coexist. When the light's there, the darkness flees. God is perfect. There is no darkness in him. He is holy. He is perfect. He is pure. He is good. And so what we have here in 1 John chapter 1 is this invitation we saw last week to fellowship with God, to a relationship with God. And then John tells us, well, you're invited to know God and be with God, have this relationship. So who is this God? Well, God is light. You're being invited to be with the light, to be in the light. Jesus will tell us that he is the light of the world. We could say Jesus is the light in the world. We're being invited to walk with the light. See, that sounds so pretty. God is light. He will illuminate my path. This is the type of relationship that just sounds very easy and comes comfortable to my mind. God is my flashlight, and I can turn to him when life is hard or unhappy or it just gets dark. But that's not what John's saying to us here. That's what we want it to say. God is light, and he's going to make your life so easy. No, God is light, and we are invited to walk life with him. And that has implications. And John is about to propose three self-reflection claims. He says, God is light. There's no darkness with him. Now, let's ask yourself some questions. So he's going to give us some questions. How do you relate to God? How do you have fellowship with this God of light, with the perfection of God? So he's going to bring us three questions to ask ourselves. 1 John 1, verse 6, he starts off, he says, if we claim we have fellowship with him, if we claim a relationship with God, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. See, it's easy to claim a relationship with God. Oh yes, I know God. Or I believe in a God. God's out there somewhere and he sends me good vibes. I know God. John says we can't claim to be in relationship with God but live our own way. I can't have a relationship yet walk in my own way. He calls this idea of walking in my way, in your way, he calls this darkness. You can't walk in darkness, in your choices, your desires, your routines. Light and dark are opposites. He says, you can't say you have a relationship with God and walk in your own ways in your darkness. And notice, he says you can't walk in darkness. It's an active lifestyle. It's not just peeking at the darkness. It's not just looking or glancing in that direction. He says, no, you are walking in it. You are living it. You are acting it out. He says, you can say you know God and live a completely different way. In John's day, first century, as much as ours today, we are very good at claiming God. It's nothing to claim a relationship with God that we don't actually have. Oh yes, I know God. I'm aware of God's presence in my life. Oh, God likes me, I like him. It's all on the surface, though. It's an act. It's an act that we might even believe ourselves when we fool ourselves. We claim to know God as kind of our get-out-of-hell-free card. We say, I'm aware of God. I have a relationship with God. I might go to church, Christmas and Easter kind of thing to keep God happy. But he's something I tuck away in my pocket for when I die. I'm aware of God. I have a relationship with God. I'm going to live my life the way I want. But it's okay because I know God, and one day I'll get to heaven and he'll let me in. Or even when I have a bad day, I might call him. I might throw up a prayer to God because I know him, but I don't walk with him. See, John says you can't say you know God and not walk with him. You either know God and walk, or you don't know God and you don't walk. He says walking with God is a sign of relationship. I came across this really thought-provoking, at least thought-provoking to me. Hopefully you find it thought-provoking. Quote from John Stott. John Stott. He was writing one of the commentaries I read this week. He says, we're supposed to walk in the light. What is it to mean to walk in the light? He says, to walk in the light means to become increasingly conscious of sin. Sin that would hinder our fellowship with God and our fellowship with Christians. And as this sin is revealed, not to run away again into the darkness. See, this is the problem and the hardest thing when it comes to walking in God's light. It reveals everything. If I choose to walk in God's light, I'm going to see all of the darkness in my own life. You go back to the helicopter illustration. The floodlight reveals the escaped prisoner. He can't hide. There's nowhere to go. It puts everything on clear display. This is what God will do when we walk with him. When we walk in relationship with God, it should make us aware of our own darkness, of our own sins, of our own struggles, and that gets uncomfortable. I don't like when people tell me when I'm wrong. Just ask my wife. I don't like when people tell me my errors and the things I need to change in my life. It gets uncomfortable. It's why we choose not to walk in the light. But God provides a way through that discomfort. And we'll get there. But before we get there, I want to look at John's other two claims. So he starts and says, you can't claim to have a relationship with God, but live any way you want. So then he goes on, 1 John 1, verse 8. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we decide, yes, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk in God's revealing light. But the idea of my own darkness and sin is not a pleasant one. So I decide, hey, you know what? I don't sin. I do not sin anymore. I have a relationship with God and I do not sin any longer. Now, for sure, we might agree that we used to sin. Right? Before I knew God, when I walked in my own ways, I lived the way I wanted. And yeah, I used to live contrary to God's ways. I used to sin, but that was the old me, and I am living and walking in the light now. I do not sin. Hear John very clearly. He says, if you claim you do not sin, you are deceiving yourself. We would all like to believe that by having a relationship with God, by seeking to walk with him, that we will no longer struggle with our own darkness. That God's penetrating light will come into every corner of our lives, and that we too will become light, and we too will be perfect. Again, I try to convince my wife of this, that I am perfect, and she quickly tells me I'm not. But this is what we say. I'm walking with God now. I'm a Christian, and there is no darkness in my life. I am perfect. We may not go to the perfect part, but we say, well, I don't struggle with sin anymore. Yet in our hearts, we know this can't really be true. We can't claim this. Just think back over the last 3 days. Were you perfect? Did you get angry? Did you lie, fudge the truth? Did you express perfect generosity at every turn? Did you express perfect love? Did you think kindly of each person you interacted with, or were there some negative thoughts in your mind? So the reality is, even as we walk with Jesus, we know we struggle. Have you ever painted a wall? Nice flat wall. You just get the roller out, you paint it. It looks nice. It's clean, it's smooth, it's perfect. And then you shine a light on it. And all of a sudden, every little imperfection is turned into a mountain. The light makes the smallest fault into a mountainous shadow. This is what walking in God's light does. It reveals our darkness, our areas of imperfection. It reveals our ungodly desires. Just because we claim to know God, we are not changed overnight. I mean, we are changed, but not to perfection. We are still being pulled by our old ways. The old us died with Jesus on the cross, but the temptations still linger. I came across the reference of Jesus washing the disciples' feet this week. There's always been a phrase in there I never quite understood. Remember when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and he comes to Peter, and as only Peter can do, Peter opens his mouth and says, "Jesus, if you're going to wash my feet, give me a bath." You're like, Jesus is going, "Oh, Peter." But Jesus says this. He says, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean." My thought was, well, when did Peter get a bath? What's he referencing? We have been washed in Jesus. Jesus has died on the cross. Our sins have been forgiven. We are walking in the light, and yet sometimes our feet need cleaned. We are walking in the light. We are pursuing a relationship with God. Our old self has died, but sometimes God's revealing light will point to an area we have not looked at before. And God says, you need to look at this. Let me wash your feet. I don't know if that's entirely what Jesus was saying there, but it really fits. Maybe Peter was onto something with this whole bath idea. God's light will reveal our areas of darkness, our struggles. As we walk in the light, we have to be working on acknowledging our own darkness. That God's light will reveal these. See, God, show me the areas that I'm not walking in perfection with you so that I can walk better. Or, if you don't want to do that, you go to John's third claim. 1 John 1, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, that we have never sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. See, all of a sudden, instead of saying, no, I don't sin now, God and I are buddies, we now say, you know what? I have never sinned. God loves me, I love him, and I have never sinned. I mean, yeah, there's that Romans 3:23 verse that says, for all have sinned, but that's just a generalization about everyone else. See, what we tend to do is begin to redefine and reterm things. I'm not a sinner. I make mistakes. I'm not a sinner. I'm just not perfect. I'm not a sinner. I'm only human. While we might engage in the things that the Bible calls sin, it's not as simple as that, we say. It's just the way that God made me. It's what makes me happy, and doesn't God want me to be happy? We begin to redefine things so that, yeah, we don't sin. I've never sinned. It's just the things I do. See, the world today, and by the world I mean us too, us in the church, we're very quick to redefine sin so that it doesn't apply to us or that it doesn't even exist. We say, oh, this is not a big deal. Everybody does it. Oh, no, it's different today. Like in Bible times, yes, but it's different today because we're so much more enlightened. John tells us we can't claim to know God and yet live outside of his moral standards. If you claim a relationship with God, but you say you have never sinned, you are deceiving yourself. You're making God out to be a liar. We must accept that moral standards exist, that there is a right and there is a wrong, and it's not up to you and it's not up to me to decide those things. It can't be up to just what makes me happy. There is an absolute truth. So where do we find the truth? How do we know what the truth is? In the perfection of God who is light. If God is light, if God is holy, if God is perfect, if God is all good and all knowing, then the right and the wrong, the light and the dark are defined by Him. If God is light, as John declares, from what he received and experienced from Jesus, then in his perfection and his holiness, God gets to set the standards. Let's just acknowledge the truth. We're not going to like that. It's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to go against our desires, but it's the truth, whether I like it or not. We can't claim to know God. We can't claim to be in a relationship with Him and then not walk in His light, in His way. So yes, when we walk in God's light, when we walk in God's perfection, when we walk according to His standards, our imperfections, our sin becomes apparent. They are made visible. But that's actually part of the invitation. Rather than hiding in the dark, rather than fleeing from God's revealing light, we should run toward it. Look at what John writes in and around these claims. He gives us these three claims, but in between them, he says, I want you to see something else. I want you to see God's love and God's provision for helping us. As God illuminates our darkness, as God when he shows us these errors we need to work on, he's going to overcome our darkness with us. 1 John 1, verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, if we choose to be with God and walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. When we choose to become uncomfortable in God's revealing light, we are not alone in the spotlight. God is right there with us. See, we say God is light, and we get this idea of an interrogation. Sitting in the room with the light shining on our face and God saying, you tell me your darkness. It's not an interrogation, it's a fellowship. We are being invited into a fellowship, into a friendship with God, and God is light. God is there with us. And God's family, the church, is with us. We are together walking in the light. It's not a floodlight to capture the criminal. It's a beacon of hope to call the lost and the hurting. John says, step into the light because God wants to meet you there and be with you. Why? Because no matter what the light reveals in you, Jesus will take it. He says, the blood of Jesus purifies us, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus will take it. It's the whole reason for the Easter. Jesus went to the cross in your place, in my place, rather than revealing your darkness and punishing you. Well, here's your sin. Now you're going to go die. You're going to be paid for. Jesus says, I will take it, and I will pay the price for it. So then we walk in God's light, and God's light shines in those dark corners that we've been hiding, and God says, I see that. But don't worry. It's Jesus's. Just give it to Him, and you're good to go. God says, let me shine my light in you and on you, and then just give what we find to Jesus. There's no judgment. There's no additional punishment because Jesus already paid it. He gave His life so that you could walk in the light. 1 John 1, verse 9, he says, he adds on, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from our unrighteousness. When we find the darkness that God reveals, let's be clear, God is not telling us you can now unload your spiritual trash cans in Jesus' junkyard. Week by week, I go, all right, here's my darkness, Jesus. And then I go home, and what do you have to take the trash out? You start filling the bin again. Say, well, I can walk in my own darkness because next week I'll take the trash out. No, God's revealing light calls us to confession. Confession is different than an apology. God calls us to confession, to see these dark areas and this sin and acknowledge that it doesn't belong there, that it can't stay. Say, God, I see these areas of my life that are outside of your will and it can't continue to be part of me. Just saying, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry I did that, that's not a confession, it's remorse. There are a lot of things that I regret saying and doing, but I also know that I would do them again. I'm sorry in the moment, but I'm going to do them again. That's not confession. In confession, the light of God shines to reveal that which has to change. When I see this darkness, this sin, this struggle, I say, this cannot continue because God is calling me to something better. It's not that I confess to get God's approval, his merit. It's simply that I say, this has to change. God, I have to turn around. I have to move away from this. And so I bring it to Jesus, acknowledging that I can't go back on my own, to my own way. I'm going to walk from here moving forward in God's light. Stott had another quote that I thought fit nicely in this process. He says, there's no more sure evidence that a person is out of fellowship with God than for someone to contemplate or commit sin with the idea, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. That's the difference of confession. To say, I can just ask for forgiveness later means I'm not actually confessing it, I'm just acknowledging it so I can do it again later. Confession is this idea of turning around, getting rid of it altogether, saying, I want to start over with you, God. John tells us that God is light, and we can have fellowship, we can have relationship with him. But in this relationship, the light will reveal things about us that we won't like. And we can run from it and live in our own darkness. We can deny that it's in us. We say, oh, no, that's not me. Or we can accept it and bring it to Jesus. John continues in chapter 2, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. John shares his experiences with us, and he invites us to know the light of God. And ideally speaking, we would be so overwhelmed with God's perfection that we would no longer sin. He says, I write this to you in hopes that you no longer sin. But that's not the reality. Even after years of walking with Jesus and walking the light, there are still dark corners of our inner life that God finds for us. He said, you haven't looked here yet. You haven't looked here yet. And John says, don't worry, it's not the end, because we have an advocate. We have a spokesperson. We have a defender. We have someone to go to bat for us. We have Jesus, the righteous one, the perfect one, the sinless one, light himself. He says, I am the light of the world. Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. All of our sins, your sins, my sins, everyone's. He paid the price to remove the darkness. When we walk in the light of God, every dark spot can be handed over to Jesus. I'm going to switch my microphone. This one's dying. Now I'm corded and I can't run away. We are so quick to try and hide our own struggles. You see, I see the darkness, now let me tuck it away where no one can see it. The church should be a place where we can be open and we can be honest. Say, you know what? This is where I'm struggling. Will you walk with me together? Yet we are much more likely to be transparent and open with our therapist than with our small group. Because we can't let people see our struggles, because then they'll know that I'm not perfect. But John says to us, we cannot claim to know God and be perfect. We can't claim I know God and claim that we are perfect. We are not. God is light. I'm trying to walk in his light. We hide from each other, and we try to hide from God too. We hide from God thinking, if his searchlight, if his light can't find me, I can skate by and slip into heaven. He'll think we're good, but that's not the reality. This interesting picture came to my mind this week. Do you remember the movie Beauty and the Beast? Disney's animated one, not the new live one. It's a little hard to see this here, but there's a scene towards the beginning of the movie where Belle comes to the castle where her father is being held captive. And she's talking to the Beast. She can't see him. He's kind of off in the darkness. She can only hear his voice. And he says, you can stay here and I'll let your father go. A life for a life. I will let your sick father go if you stay here. Do you remember what she asked him
before she makes her decision. Before she decides if she'll stay in her father's place, if she'll redeem her father and rescue him, before she makes the decision, she asks one simple thing. Step into the light. She wants to see her potential captor. If she's going to spend the rest of her life in this haunted castle, she wants to know what she's getting into. Step into the light. Let me see who you are. And in the movie, the beast slowly steps into the little dim light there. The paw comes out, the claw, the hair, the face, the fangs. Little by little, this beast is revealed. God is Bel. We are the beasts. We are living in our shadows, trying to lure God into a relationship. We stand in the shadows. God, I don't want you to see me. Just stay with me. And God looks at us and says, step into my light. Now, can I tell you a secret? Bel in the movie, she already knows who the beast is. She hasn't seen him, but she knows who. Come on. She's seen the castle. She's seen the situation. She knows this is not a handsome prince. She knows who the beast is. Even without seeing him, she knows. Our Bel, God himself, he knows every dark corner of our lives. He knows the paws and the fangs, the teeth that we're bearing. He knows every dark piece about us, and he's inviting us to step into his light. This isn't a surprise to God. God says, walk with me in light. And he goes, oh, I didn't realize you looked like that. Walk with me in light. Oh, I didn't realize you struggled with it. God already knows. He says, step into my light, not so that I can learn about you, but so that you can learn about yourself and surrender to me. Give it up to me. Walk in the light so you can be in the light. And just like the beast in Disney's story, when we step into the light, we can be transformed into the women and men that God created us to be. Not the people we are, not with the sins and struggles we constantly carry with us, but the people that God created us to be. John invited us last week to know God, to be in fellowship, in this relationship with him. But we can't claim to know God without walking with God. To walk with God is to walk with the God of light, the perfect God, the holy God, the standard maker. If you claim to know God, but you are okay living as you please, John tells us over and over again here, you are lying to yourself. You don't know God. You only know the God that you have created in your image. That's why you like God so much. But God created us in his image, not the other way around. The God of light is far better than any God we can create. His revealing light is full of mercy and love and compassion. It's not this incriminating beam of judgment that we often expect it will be. It searches us and it knows us and it leads us into fuller life. As we lay each dark spot, each sin, each struggle that God is revealing to us at Jesus' feet, as we trust him to take it from us and make us brighter and brighter into his image, we will find that walking in the light is actually so much more freeing than walking in the darkness. And we will find the joy that John says comes with living with Jesus. Remember last week he invites us to experience the fullness of joy, and that comes with walking in the light. So John's questions for us today come down to this. Do you claim to know God? I assume for most of us sitting here in the room or watching online, because we're in church today, we claim we know God. But are we walking in the light? Will we step into the light? Maybe for the first time. We claim to know God, but we've ignored or avoided his light. Will you step into the light for the first time, not for God to judge you, but for God to love you, to show you these areas he wants to take so you don't have to struggle with them anymore? And for those of us who have been walking in the light, some of us are only halfway in the light. God, you can have my left foot, but not my right foot. Like the hokey pokey. You put it in, you put it out again. Step into the light. God is inviting us to step fully in the light. And I'll be honest, it's not going to happen overnight. You can walk with God for 50 years and he's still going to show you little areas that you've not given to him. But with each step and each passing day and each area God reveals, you will find more joy, more love, and more compassion from your Savior. And so we look at John's words here and we simply say, may we each find fellowship with God, not just a claim, but true fellowship with God, that we might choose to walk each day in his penetrating light. God, we come before you this morning, and we acknowledge we are so quick to claim that we know you. And in the same breath, we want to acknowledge that we know best. Father, we run from your penetrating light because we don't want to see our darkness. We're afraid of what you might say to us if it were brought to the surface. And yet when we allow you to do what only you can do, when our darkness is revealed, we encounter something far different than we expected. We encounter love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And we want to walk with you even more. So Lord, I pray today that you would speak, that you would shine in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. Help us to be willing to surrender to your light, that we might meet you more and be transformed into the people you've created us to be. Shine your light on us today, we ask and pray. Amen.